Yeah, but when you get up here and people looking at you, it's a little bit different. And not only that, but I believe that this is holy ground. And it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of all-knowing and mighty God. In the book of 1 Kings in the 19th chapter, it's where we'll be reading from this evening while you pray for us for just a few minutes of time and try to find where the Lord would have us to go and then bring to you what he has given to us. And the Bible says in the book of 1 Kings in the 19th chapter, starting at verse 9, "And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain the prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And stop there with that 14th verse tonight. And I guess our text is more of a question than it is a statement. But have you ever felt like you're all by yourself? I think we can relate with what Elijah felt in his heart. We go back to the previous chapter and we see where Elijah was there, and he said unto the people in verse 21, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, Not a word. Not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Elijah was feeling alone. But even alone, he was able to stand for God. Not by his strength, but by the strength that God gave to him. Elijah put forth the challenge and said, Let the God that answered by fire, let him be God. And you notice, and I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but I think it sticks out tonight, that the people answered not a word. And then in our scripture reading, he also said how that the people, the so-called people of God, he said, but the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant. In other words, they put away the law. They put away doing the things that God had told them to do. They've thrown down thine altars. They tore up the altars. And they slain the prophets with the word, or with the sword rather, because they didn't like what the prophets were preaching. And you say, that's pretty harsh. It was so in that day, and I believe if time goes on, it will be so again. That we will come to a place where we will feel like we're all alone. Even though we may have a church that we can worship God in, today, I believe it's very limited on the amount of time that we'll have this privilege. Very limited. And even sometimes I feel like Elijah, that I know God can do great things. But when great things are presented by God, or the people are told what God could do or can do, people sit quiet. And they speak not a word. They don't want to see what God can do because they're more interested in what the gods of this world can do. It wasn't that they didn't believe Elijah. It's that the prophets of Baal brought to them prosperity. Does this message sound familiar to anybody? The prophets of Baal brought them into fellowship with one another, and they were part of the community because they worshiped Baal also. And when the God's prophets preached against it, they destroyed them. They killed them because they didn't like what they preached. And this is not the first time that this has happened, and it won't be the last time that it happens. But Elijah was so afraid that he went and hid himself. If we look at what he said, he went to the cave and he lodged there. But even in a cave, God knew where he was at. Amen. And the word of the Lord came to him there and said, if I can paraphrase it, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here in this cave? And you say, well, he was feeling sorry for himself, but did God not just perform a great miracle in front of all the people by the hand of Elijah? He prayed out and God sent down fire that came down and took up the offering, the sacrifice that was there, and not just there, but the Bible says that also that he, in a time of drought, said that he heard an abundance of rain coming. And he sent out, you remember the story, he sent out a servant and said, go and tell me, look up and tell me toward the sea and come back and tell me what you see up there about the clouds. And he came back and said he didn't see anything. He told him to go back and he went back seven times. And then finally he came back, Brother Ron, and he said, there's a little cloud like a man's hand. And he said, get ready. It's going to rain. See, one moment, one day, we're high in our walk with God. And the next moment, we're like Elijah, that we just want to succumb to ourselves and just say, God, look at all that I've done for you. Look at all I've done for these people, and yet they're the ones that has driven me here to where I'm at today, to where I'm feeling all alone, and there's no one else but me. Have you ever felt like you was the only one? Maybe in the workplace. We're living in a time, and I'm trying to be very careful tonight, but we're living in a time when preaching against sin is getting to a place to where it's going to be wrong. It's going to be wrong. Elijah told them about their sins, and it put him on the run because of it. He went there and he hid himself. It says he lodged there, but can you have that kind of imagination? I believe he went there to feel sorry for himself and to be all alone, maybe even to hide for his own life. I said that we're in a time to where preaching against sin is going to come to where we'll be told you can't do it no more. I put this in, and this is not political, but everything that the Bible stands against is being pushed down our throats, over the airways, in the school system, and even in the workplace, to where everything that is wrong according to God's word is right. And Elijah, no doubt, because he preached against sin, he felt that way. And as he talked with God, God said, and I remember this message quite well, not in this context, but this is the message that I preached, the scripture from where I preached with the help of God on the night that I was ordained back in 1985. And back then I messed up. You ever sang a song and messed up? You ever testified and messed up? Well, I preached a message and messed up, and that most of the time I did not call him Elijah. But as I told Becky the other day, when you've got so much coming at you, it's easy to get in a carnal messed up. But the Bible says that God came and talked with him, and he said that there was, as the Lord passed by, there was a great and strong wind, and it rent the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And then he came, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in that earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. But after the fire, there was a still small voice. Hallelujah. I've heard that voice. I heard a sweet voice. Speak to me, as Elijah heard it there. And even as he heard that voice, he wrapped his face in his mantle and stood there at the entrance of the cave. And that voice spoke to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And again, he had to tell the Lord, "I've been very jealous." In other words, "I've been working very hard for the Lord God of hosts. But the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant." Did you know it's hard to preach against sin when nobody wants to hear it? It's hard to stand upon the word of God when nobody wants to hear it. It's hard to share the story of Jesus Christ when nobody wants to hear it. It's hard to tell people Jesus saves and redeems when nobody is lost and undone. In our workplaces, we feel like Elijah. "Lord, here I am, and I'm the only one." Now, we may feel that way. I know God said there is a remnant that will still be here upon this earth when he comes in the clouds of glory. But you know God has revealed to me that here Elijah was complaining about the children of Israel, God's people that would not listen to him and had killed the prophets and had torn down the altars. When God said that there'll be a remnant, he didn't say there'll be a remnant of this world. He said there'll be a remnant of Israel, God's people. Did you know not everybody that says they're God's people is God's people? There's a lot of people that saying, "I'm part of the family of God," that God don't know. That'd be like me saying I'm part of the Cox family. Or I'm part of, and now this is when I start getting all messed up, because I don't want anybody to be left out, part of the Ball family or part of Jennifer or Tara and Jeff's family. I don't know which side there. Part of Brother Holcomb's family or Jack and Sarah and Sister Betty and also Glenn and Debbie or the Sharps family. I think I got everybody, right? But we see that even sometimes, you've heard me preach over the years, that in our neighborhoods, We feel like I'm the only one. How many times have you heard me about the neighbors having a party and we didn't get invited? And at first your feelings get a little hurt. It might have just been a thing where they got together and watched a movie being shot on a sheet out in the driveway. But we didn't get invited, so you see everybody carrying their plates and everything, and you know something's going down. But you didn't get invited. And we feel like Elijah, Lord, why don't they like me? And the difference is because there's a difference about us. Not because we put on a front. God help us not to be holier than thou. But be down to earth and realize all we are sinners saved by God's grace. One day we was just like them, but that still small voice spoke to us and made us different. In our neighborhoods, in the workplace, and even in our churches. You ever been at a church service and you looked around and said, am I in the right place? The other night I was listening to Sister Debbie, Chuck's wife, that passed just a few weeks ago. Her granddaughter is in the praise team at one of the churches over there. And I hit the button so I could listen to it. And I thought, my Lord, because music has overtaken our churches. And I'm not just talking about the songs that's being sung and the lyrics. I'm talking about the musical instruments has overtaken the message of Jesus Christ. And whenever something is put on the forefront and Christ becomes a backdrop, he'll have no part of it. He says he's either first or he's not at all. Amen. So while we feel like that we are the only ones that there is and there's nobody left, I'm sure God's looking at us and saying, you poor little soul, to think that you're the only one. He may have even thought that about Elijah. But we find later, Elijah, while you're having your pity party, feeling like you're the only one that knows me and is proclaiming me, he said in verse 18, I have me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which have not kissed him. So, you say, Roger, you made us feel like we're the only ones. But I also want to tell you, God is saying, I've got more. You're not the only one. I've got others that love me and worship me and believe in keeping the covenant and keeping the altar in the house of God. You're not the only one. But are you like me? Sometimes it's hard to find that other one. Lord, you got them hid. I need to see them. I need some help here because it's getting awfully hard. And no doubt if Elijah would have stuck around, they would have tried to kill him also. You see, we have a message that the world needs more than anything else, but a message that the world does not want to hear. Period. As the writer says, Paul said to Timothy, they have itching ears. They want to be pacified. They want to be told how good they are and that everything is all right. And there is no such thing as sin. If there is no sin, Jesus died in vain. If there is nothing wrong, this book is a fallacy. It's wrong. And it ought to be done away with. You say, that's strong words, Roger. I said, if it's not true. But we know This book is true from cover to cover. And it will stand when the world is on fire. Regardless of what man says, God's word will stand. And you and I, sometimes we ought to feel ashamed that we think we're the only one. But it's hard to find another. In the workplace, in the neighborhood, and even in our churches. The man that came here Sunday morning and had the question, quite confused young man. I talked to him after church and he said, I've read the Bible through and through. I've read the Quran through and through. And I said, and he said, I just can't understand it all. And the intellect just won't let me understand it all. I said, that's problem number one. Because you're trying to understand something that is given by spiritual discernment. You can't read it and understand it. He said, well, do you think that there's things in the Bible that is wrong? I said, no. He said, well, do you think that there, can you understand why God did some of the things that he did? And I said, well, there's things that I used to be confronted about that really had me tongue-tied. Why did God kill all those people in the Old Testament? Why did he send hornets to drive them out? And why did he send angels to kill them, to fight them against them so that Israel didn't have to? And sometimes why did he allow Israel to get defeated? You know, they fought Jericho, a mighty big city, and they won. Then they go down to little Ai, and they get killed. 14,000 get killed down there. But in God's providence, he knows what he's doing. And those enemies had to be destroyed. And if our forefathers, and I'll close, would have done everything that God told them to do, we wouldn't have the problems that we have today. He told them to kill them. Don't take anything they got. Kill them. You say, that's harsh. God knew that if his people intermarried them, they would bring their gods. They would bring their ways. And look what trouble it caused throughout history. Not even throwing in Ishmael. Look at all the other problems that's been caused by God's people taking strange wives. The women didn't say a word. And all the women taking strange husbands. God said, stay away from them. Leave them alone. And not to be funny, but there were some of us that married strange ones. And God straightened them out. Amen. And vice versa. I will make sure I cover all my bases tonight. But have you ever felt like you're the only one? And when we do, God's not telling us to preach it until he gives it to us. You see, there's a time to speak and there's a time to be quiet. There's a time to let it be known and there's a time to just let it show. I'd rather see a Christian than hear a Christian. Amen. Because it's easy to say I'm a Christian. It's hard to prove that you're a Christian. Because actions speak louder than words. Amen. How many of you have ever felt like you're the only one? Workplaces where you get made fun of. Neighborhoods where you get made fun of because you don't do the things that they do. I shared this with you several years ago. We had a new neighbor move in, and I was getting ready to go perform a wedding, and he came out to the car as I was getting ready to pull out and introduced himself, and I said, well, hi, and I hate to be short, but I got to get to a wedding. And he says, well, maybe we can get together another time and maybe have a drink or two together. And I said, well, I don't drink unless you're talking about Diet Coke. And you know, we non-drinkers are a minority. And we're getting smaller and smaller and smaller in number, right? And I don't want you to feel bad for that. I want you to feel glad, because that means you're not an alcoholic. That means that strong drink is not raging in your body and that you're of your right mind. To the best we can. So even though you feel like you're the only one, know God has another one or more. We just have to hold on until God says, now it's time. Amen? Amen. I hope you've enjoyed the word, because there's times I feel like I'm the only one. And I work with people who say that they believe in God, they believe in Jesus, but their language is different than our language. Their actions are different than our actions, and the things that they partake in is different than ours. I've got family that post on Facebook. I always have to try to remember that. Oh, how I love Jesus. And then a day or two later, talking about drinking or using some type of curse word. And I think, my God, what an embarrassment to the Lord. Amen. And I'm the only one. No. God's got others tonight. And our duty, in my closing remarks, our duties is to encourage one another. You're not the only one. Look around you tonight. I know our congregation is low, but you've got each other. And I tell each of you, if you ever get into a pickle where you feel like you need somebody, hunt somebody out and call them. Rely on them. Call me. I'll stand with you. Because I believe that the Bible says that if there's only one of us, it's easy to be defeated. But when you get three of us together, go back and read about that cord. Cannot be easily broken. Amen? Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that you give us encouragement, that sometimes we feel like others have never faced that situation, been in that predicament, and Lord, never felt like we feel. But I'm thankful your word is as live today as it ever was, and teaches us that, Lord, that we're not the only one that ever felt like this, but many others that are great, great men, great prophets, a major prophet, that, Lord, was able to do great miracles, but still at times he felt like he was all by himself. Lord, I thank you that even when I'm by myself, I still have you. And there is nothing that you and I cannot accomplish when we seek your will in our hearts and in our lives. Go with us tonight. Be with our people. Be with our country. For Lord, we need a revival. We need people to get back to your word and to your churches and worship you in spirit and in truth, that they might see their loved ones saved before it's too late. Go with us now. Lead, guide, and direct us, for we ask it all in the name of Jesus. And amen. Amen. I know this is not popular preaching. In fact, I had a thought today that if I was an evangelist, I'd starve to death. I'm serious, because people wouldn't want to hear preaching against sin. The preaching that saved us is swiftly being pushed aside, pushed down, and pushed out. And without that type of preaching, no one's going to get saved. Amen. And it's up to us to get up, shake the dust off of us, and get to work for God, that we might see people get saved before it's too late. Amen. Yes. Years that I'm a loner, and when I feel alone, oh Lord, but sometimes we do. Anybody else? God bless you. I'm glad I came. I thank the Lord for his word, and sometimes it's hard. There's a song, and I just got a few of the words on my mind, but you know, he told us that it would be, he never told us that walking with him would be easy. But he told us that everywhere we walk, he'll walk with us. Amen. God bless you. Have a great rest of this week. Enjoy this weather while you got it. And I tell you, every time I see the weather improving, I think, man, there's a day or two for me to get off and do some work, and then our senses just goes through the roof. And it's not just the senses, it's the acuity or the seriousness of the sicknesses that people have. And we have more COVID patients now than we had back in March and April. We're up to 33, and I don't think we ever broke that many back at that time. And half a dozen that's on vents. And, you know, it's bad stuff. Biden said if he won, it'd be taken care of. It'd go away. We'll see. But, you know, it's easy to say stuff. It's harder to put it into action. And I'll get political. Becky says I got to quit getting political, but I just can't help myself sometimes. I don't know who's going to win. I don't think anybody does. But I do believe it's going to be a while before we know. One state that had 100,000 more votes than they had registered voters. How does that happen? We're living in a corrupt world. And Satan will do anything he can to get his way. So we just need to keep praying. Don't give up. Keep praying, all right? God bless you tonight.